You may be seated. Let's move expeditiously into our text this morning. Take out your document, and for those that don't have ushers, make sure the copies of our document in the hands of our visitors, those that are regulars, I said to you, like all they do in Allstate, don't leave home without it. Amen. Repeat after me, scripture comprehensions of measures. The matrix. Oh my God. Elder Nickerson is our designated reader. Let's go to Colossians this morning. Chapter 2. And last week we were in several places, most notably, as also I asked you to turn to the page 14 in the document, that is page 24. Remember, we had gone through Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, and then Galatians 2 and 20. As we posed the question, who are you? Who are we? Who are we really? Most of us think of it, of who we are, as far as what our relationships are on earth. And of course, there is an element of that. What we are doing, what our occupations are, there is an element of that. But there also is a limitation of that. Amen. When we ask the question, it is in regards to who are you forever? And of course, whatever earthly relationship you have, you cannot ascribe that to you forever. Nor what you are doing, what your occupation is. The things that you do as you move testimonially in manifestation of time. That defines a purposed venture. For the purpose of testimony, the essence of who you are has to go back to who you were. Who I am is who I always have been. Amen. Way before I was formed in the womb of my mother's belly, because in several places in the Old Testament it tells me that he knew me. It, for him to know me before I was formed in the womb of my mother's belly, that means I existed.
That's right.
Before I was formed in the womb of my mother's belly.
That's right. Amen.
Amen. So that thing when they said conception, life begins at conception, they're talking about in the physical sense. In the eternal sense of who you are, life began in foreordination. When God chose you and elected you in eternity, that is the point that you go back to define who you are. Because from the point of foreordination, you have never ceased to be.
Amen.
Amen. And this is the point where the scriptures, which we'll be dealing with this morning, amen, and I think when we were last week, when we were in Galatians and we went to that, we were using some terminology there, which we shall be using again in Colossians this morning, and same type terminology there as was used them in that second chapter. Let's go to Colossians chapter 2, and then we're going in the document. To near the bottom of page 25. I think we were dealing with this in our Bible studies, midweek Bible studies. If you go there again this morning, it's so important because it seems to me that there are challenges that we have today that are more prevalent than challenges that we had in the past. Everything is challenged. You know, who you are, even your mindset, your sanity is challenged by the things that are around you. Confrontations of life, all of the encounters of life, they bring about challenges. It's a fight. That life, somebody said, life is tough. Life is rough. Amen. Speaking in terms of all of the challenging things that we must face. Amen. But also, the scripture teaches us that he who is in us, and of course, he is speaking about the essence of what Christ has ingrained in us in knowledge. It gives us advantage. It gives an advantage. Those that don't know. What you know gives you an advantage.
Yes. Amen. Yes.
Of those that don't know him. And so the things that come, amen, if they come with knowledge, then you have the tools to victoriously walk through them and triumph over them. Oh no, that doesn't mean that this and that and the other is going to, you're going to escape from this. We're not talking about escape. We're talking about seeing through, living through, and walking through whatever encounters you have. How do you do that? Understanding that they are only, amen, images in the matrix. It's in the truest sense of who you are. Amen. These are merely testimonial experiences that your conscious is going through. You're already safe and rescued, and this is what salvation means. It means safe. You are safely in Christ, and your conscience are moving through the frames of time and the stills of time, amen, what we call the grids of life, wherein all of these experiences are put there for purpose, and your conscience is moving through them, but none of them can destroy you. And as we learn, they won't cause us to have so many bad days. Many of us, we have bad days because of the things that we are encountering.
Right.
Not understanding that every one of them is temporary.
Amen.
If the Lord tarries 100 years from now, everybody in here, nobody here will still be dealing with problems.
That's for sure.
Well, then I'd be worse off. I'd be dead. No. Absent from the body, what?
Present with the Lord.
Where you always were. Where you always were. So the advantage here is knowing who we are and where we are. Where are you? Where are you this morning? You're in the body of Christ. Where? Now. You have never been out of the body of Christ. It is your conscience that is moving through the matrix or through these frames of time. When we went through that 13th chapter of Hebrews, Paul was speaking about the desires of not living a life of desires, but being content in the present. Then he says, why? Because of the promise God has made, which is even more than what the disciples understood him to say when he said, I will never leave or forsake you. Amen. That goes deeper than that. Not leaving or forsaking you is based on the fact that you were placed in him before time, and that is your abode, and nothing in time can interrupt that. That's the part of it. And then last week we were dealing with where are you. We used, went through some terms. We're going to back it up out of Colossians this morning. Amen. Baptism, it simply means identification. Not a ceremony. The ceremonial term took place when they came together, AD 325, the Council of Nicaea, Constantine called them all together and said, now you guys, I don't care what you come up with, but come up with the same thing. And they sit down to work out what is in most religious decrees today. And the terms, and of course, another problem they had was with Paul's epistles. And I want you to take time to read the history. And so, there's a saying, if you got a problem and you can't find the answer to the problem, then change the problem. And what they did is they just got rid of Paul's epistles as the prominent force of documentation. And they tied the creeds, their creeds, in compromising and placing the emphasis on the Old Testament and what they call the New Testament. But mostly the Old Testament. This is what has caused the confusion. And for those that are watching by way of the webcast, amen, this document, it can be found clicking on the icon in the video sector, audio sector, and you'll come to this document here. But basically, also go back and check things out. What we have been guilty of is just dependent upon someone else to tell us what something is about. And never go about checking it out yourself. And I said to you, congregation, all the times the pastor used to say, check me out. Well, no, this is why you open your Bibles. This is why we have a reader. And you read along. You know, I might have had a bad night last night. And I come in here with something, and you won't know if you don't have your Bibles open. And Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. And so if I move within the vein of these scriptures right to divide it, you say amen. But if I don't, you say, well, pastor needs a rest, you know. Somebody come and rescue me. And this is how we proceed. So out of that came the ceremonies. And one of the questions was, what is the appropriate methodology for one's entrance into the church? Basically, it said into Christ. What classifies you as a child of God? And so this is why how all of these creeds came into being, followed by rules and dictums liturgies that were based upon, amen, the one who is the recipient of salvation doing something, or gaining something, or supplying something to meet some criteria. And so the onus is always on the person that is sitting there in the pews, amen, to measure up to something. But I tell you this morning, if you look into the Word of God, amen, Romans chapter 3, that there says, none that follow after him, none that want him, none righteous. No, not one. All of sin comes short of the glory of God. Amen. And why, amen, would you put the onus on those who are incapacitated to meet the requisite? That's exactly what they did. And that thing is so entrenched that you're almost heretical if you say this thing is not about you, but about him. Let's go to Colossians Let's start at verse 10. I'll read 10, 11, and 12. Then we'll read it from the Greek text. Start it in the King James. Everybody got Colossians chapter 2, verse 10. Amen. All right.
And ye are in him.
You left a word out there. Verse 10, and from the King James first.
And ye are complete in him,
mm-hmm.
which is the head of all principality and power.
Now, but Paul said more than that. Go through the 11, we'll straighten it out when we get to the Greek.
In whom also ye are circumcised.
That's what messes the thing up.
With the circumcision made without hands, and putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ.
All right. And see, by the time you get down to 12, yeah. You really don't know what he's saying.
Buried with him.
Now, it gets worse, right? As far as confusion. And so they were ordered to come up with explanations for all of this.
Oh, Lord.
And what came out of that council was a lot of rituals.
Yeah, right.
I wonder how we got where we are today. I mean, and those things have stuck to this day. But when we get to the Greek, we'll deal with what actually the utterance actually is. And none of it's physical. None of it's ceremony. And none of it's in time. Your salvation is not about what you do in time or don't do. If it was, we could all forget it. I go out and do something boneheaded, and that's the end of it. You see, when you put this thing into categories of mankind's ability in doing or not doing, you've made your relationship with God very shaky. Very shaky. If it's dependent upon you, if your input is in there any kind of way, that thing is shaky. And you know it is. I mean, that's if you're honest. Jesus said to them, he said, if your righteousness does not exceed the Pharisees.
Yeah.
And so they said, "Woo, what? Then who can be saved?"
Who can be saved? Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. Right.
He just said, "Measure up to there." And the standard that he was talking about was the righteousness of Christ. Who can measure up to the righteousness of Christ? No one. So it gets worse here. Follow me, and those that are watching, follow this closely. Because once we know who we are and where we are, then then you have the victory right there. You know that you're not striving through time. Fast forward this 1,200 years from that council there in the Reformation. You know, they were fighting over it, and then even and this is why I said we don't wear nobody's tag here. Calvin, one of the so-called 5 points of Calvin, was perseverance of the saints. God will cause you to persevere. Amen. You know, and then if you don't, then maybe you will never save.
That's it.
And that's why we're so nervous, we're all messed up.
Right.
All this information is not given for the purpose of being one. Well, then I just go out and do anything. Then they said, No. You don't need this information for that. The flesh will take care of that. Mm-hmm. He's gonna do it anyway.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, God.
No, this comes to give us, encouragement to identify with who we are.
Yeah, we are. That's right.
To act like who you are.
Thank you.
Because for the most part, the flesh doesn't act like who we are. Because that's not who we really are in the flesh. But in testimonial esteems, we're walking through for the purpose of testifying who we are. Amen. But you don't do that by living in the flesh. You do that by living in the spirit. You live in the essence of actually who you are, which goes back to who you are in Christ in eternity. So now the emphasis is off of time as the base of your residency, mm-hmm. and we focus everything from the eternal, vertical, heavenly vantage point of life.
Right.
Yeah. So we're not dependent upon what's in the matrix now.
Thank God.
Or what's going on in the matrix. And of course, we always are understanding that whatever is there, God put it there for purpose. For testimony and purpose. Read that 12th verse in the King James, and then we're going to go to the Greek.
Bury with him in baptism.
Okay, we'll come back into the Greek and explain that. There's nothing physical there. Read.
Wherein also ye are risen with him.
Nothing physical there. Nothing time based there.
Through the faith of the operation of God,
mm-hmm.
who hath raised him from the dead.
Amen. Now, to understand this, we must separate procedures and processes from the essence of God's purpose. And recognize the essence of eternity overshadows the arrows of time. I think I said it again. The essence of eternity overshadows the arrows of the ages of time. And nothing in time is the determining factor of what is. above testimony.
That's right.
Now let's go to the Greek. Pastor, we're into the didactic mode again. Yeah, we're teaching. Then we're going to stop and we're going to teach. We've been preached to, preached at. People jumping around and going through all type of statics,
yes.
Calisthenics,
yep.
About what we're doing and where we are based upon what we're doing. And the majority of what we're doing is not positive, it's negative as far as in the flesh. And what did Paul say? You know, I know that within me what?
In my flesh.
There's what?
Well,
there's nothing good. And I'm going to depend upon that for my relationship with God. Oh, thank God it's not that way. Let's look at the truth. Text as we go to the Greek text, because we cannot attempt to stand up here and to explain this until we actually get the utterance correct. Read the 10th verse.
And ye are in him Phil, who is the head of all rule.
No. The verse 10, and you are in him. You are in him.
And ye are in him,
mm-hmm.
Having been filled.
Stop. Now,
oh,
here, the person who did this work, and they did a good job here, but they were intimidated.
Mm-hmm.
They were intimidated. You are in him. You are in him. How are you in him? How are you in him?
Having
Brother
been.
Deacon. Well, he said, haven't been filled. Brother Deacon, get your. I'm going to stop and take my time here.
All right.
You said, I'm in California. Well, how did you get there? To really establish that you're there, you must know how you got there. You said, we are in Christ. How did you get there?
Mm-hmm.
How did you get in Christ? You belong to Christ? So one day I was sitting down and the light hit me and I got up and the preacher was preaching and I got up and I went down and I did this and that. Depending upon the denomination that you're in, you do this, you do that, the other, you know. And you know who has the advantage over all of us? Israel, the Jews.
Mm-hmm.
At least it's set that you're born into that. Huh? And of course they try to do that also the Catholic Church to say, well, you're born in, but then they said, but you got to be ceremonially baptized.
Yeah.
And then in the Protestant church, what do? We say, all right, you come on down, and we got a pool here. And this, you know, and I'm not trying to be divisive when I say this. There's a pool right under this pulpit. It is plywood over it. It is carpeted. As long as I'm pastor, it's going to stay that way. And I hope the next person that follows into the gospel grace and understand that that's not what he's talking about here. Now, water baptism is prevalent and it is a working part of the kingdom gospel. But we're not under law. We're not under kingdom law. We're under grace. Listen, if you do not divide this Bible according to dispensations and covenants, you're going to be confused. These letters, these epistles, give the essence of our instructions for operating in the grace church.
Amen. Yes.
In that it takes us into the essence of eternality.
Yeah.
And it keeps us there.
Right.
And even when it's talking about things in time, it is from the vantage point of eternity.
Yeah.
Yes. In manifestation, This is December the 8th, 2012. But that's not where you are. Amen. In eternity, there are no dates. There are no hours. There are and you can't
hear me.
It is just now. The eternal now. Everybody say the eternal now.
Eternal now.
That's where you are. Because if you're abiding in something that's coming and going, as it comes, you jump in, I guess, and as it goes, you they spell out of it. Where are you? And who are you? You got that, Brother Deacon?
Mm-hmm.
What is that?
That is a perfect...
That's in the perfect...
Tense.
And what voice is that in? Past voice. What is the perfect tense? Completed action with ongoing effects. This means you were before you are. And if you were, the answer is when.
Glory to God. Thank God.
When were you completed? When was it settled concerning who you are? Through some act that you did in time, or where God previously placed you in eternity.
Where God previously placed you in eternity.
So basically, you are, reading that, you would say, you are in Him, and you have been, and are complete, a field. Is it tied to a place? Read. Who what?
Who is the head of all rule and authority?
Now who is that?
Christ.
Christ. It's tied to Christ. You are about Christ. Your life is about Christ. Your life always has been about Christ. Not some spot on some little small planet in some little small solar system in some little relatively small galaxy in some little small universe that's only a part of what, amen, He created for the purpose of testimony.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Thank God.
So testimonies in time testimonies in time do not give explication as to what you are and who you are. So this is what he's saying. You are having been completed. Where? In eternity. Well, let's go on down. Let's read verse 11 from the Greek.
In whom?
Again, in whom? Who we're talking about? Christ.
In whom also you were circumcised. With a circumcision. Not hand wrought.
Stop. Now, if the previous verse, if you're talking about were, and we're speaking about eternity, when you get down here to the next verse, you're not dealing with some ceremony in time.
Oh. God, yes. Amen.
Now here you have two words that have a different connotation. One is in the Old Testament circumcision. The other one in what we call the New Testament is baptism. Baptism. They both mean and have the same connotation. What is that? Identification. Follow this now.
Amen. Thank God.
In the Old Testament, how was an Israelite a Jew? An Israelite a Jew? They were born one.
Amen.
There was only one way. There was only one way. That you were not a Gentile. And it's that you were born into the Commonwealth of Israel. And what did they do on the eighth day? What did they do? They, which simply means they identified them, not for the purpose of being an Israelite, but they identified, the identification, amen, is an accessory to being an Israelite. Now if you take that same premise over into the New Testament, and you take that, baptism is not for the purpose of getting in. It's for the purpose of identification, the fact that you are in.
Glory to God. Mm-hmm. Yes, amen. Thank God.
But here's what takes the thing completely out of time. We go back to verse 10. You have a completed action of that which already has occurred. It did occur in time.
No.
You were not identified as belonging to him in time. So your circumcision or your baptism or your identification goes back to eternity.
Amen.
When he circumcised you and placed you into Christ, that was your identification. That was your baptism. This is where the confusion has arisen. And if you don't get this part straight, the next part is really going to just make you they had to come up with stuff. You know, if you don't get this right, you have to make stuff up. And this is what they did at the Council of Nicaea. They made stuff up and put them in the creeds. And to this day, everybody's following it. Because if you don't understand what he's speaking of in terms of baptism and circumcision as identification, the next part is going to really confuse you. Read.
Not handwritten.
Right? This, but when he said not handwritten, he means not physical.
Not handwritten.
Not physical. Now here, he tell you, I didn't get that part. I didn't convey that part. Not handwritten, not physical. He's telling you that this circumcision or this identification is not physical. How are you going to make it, amen, a ritual, a rite, amen, a ceremony, if it's not physical? Ceremonies are physical. That should be explanation enough. And if you don't get that, now when you go to the next part, if you made this up, now you got to make something else up. Read.
By putting off of the body,
uh-huh,
of the flesh,
uh-huh,
by the circumcision of Christ.
Uh-huh. So how are you going to do that? Amen. That is, if it's not handwrought, that means you have done what? You have moved it from the physical frame.
Mm-hmm. That's it.
So you're not talking about the body of the flesh. What body are we talking about?
The body of Christ.
When were you identified with the body of Christ?
Eternity.
Eternity.
Yes.
Well, it's the Commonwealth of Israel through circumcision, which, amen, would speak of their identification. Mm-hmm. When you speak of baptism, you are not... You're talking about identification. You are not talking about some ceremony.
That's it. Amen.
If you're talking about of the flesh, it's a ceremony.
That's it.
But here he said, not of the flesh. Mm-hmm. Removing it from the physical.
Yeah. Thank God.
To the spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
How does that read?
Not hand wrought. for the body
mm-hmm.
of the flesh
uh-huh.
by the circumcision of Christ.
But by the circumcision of Christ. By identification with Christ. See, you got to put that word in there. Identification. When were you identified with Christ? Not an identification with the flesh.
No.
Not hand wrought.
No.
Not physical.
No.
But identification in Christ. Which is not physical.
Not.
Now if you don't understand that, when you get to verse 12, you are really confused. Read.
Co-buried with him in the baptism.
Stop. Now you're confused. Because you have not picked up yet. Then he's talking about identification. How are you interred? What is that, Brother Deacon? That is a what?
With Christ. Oh, Lord. That's an as part of simple with the passive voice.
Passive.
Jesus.
Aorist. What's the aorist tense?
Past
complete. Complete. It's something that's done.
Amen.
Why are we over here teaching that a person's interest in the Christ is through a test, is through a ceremony? Mm-hmm. Amen. When this is telling us that all of this. It's complete and happen
in eternity.
In eternity. Why are we doing? Why are we doing this? Now, we're not doing this, amen. Start no fights and all of that. And we love all every. We make stop and make this statement. We love the entire body of Christ. And thank God, what we know does not determine who we are.
Right. That's right.
But what they taught. Since they started with a ceremony, they had to stick with the ceremony.
Yeah.
And they taught you that when you went down in that water, and this is why they got to fighting over sprinkling and submerging. When you went down in the water, you were buried in the water of baptism, and then you bring you up, you're being raised. Start wrong, you'll end up wrong. And notice this Greek word here, amen, has the prefix sing in it. If you enter Erasmus, song, which means with. With. So they tell you that every time you're baptized, amen, you're going back to Calvary, so forth and so forth. Today. Calvary is the testimony.
Mm-hmm.
2,000 years ago is not when Christ died.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Revelation 13:8. Mm-hmm. And Peter brings it out also. I don't have that scripture before me right now. It didn't happen. You know, and we're teaching that every time somebody comes forward and say, "But so and so got saved today." No, you didn't. You've come into the knowledge of this thing.
Knowledge,
man. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't understand that, you put your salvation in time. It's just as shaky as everything else that's in time.
Right,
man.
Follow this. Co-buried with him in the baptism, for the sake of time, I'm just going to read this myself. In whom also you were co-raised.
Right.
Raised with. You see that same prefix is on there. Sing or sung, if you're into Erasmus pronunciation. How were you co-raised with Christ? So you have to make up something. That happens is through one thing. God decreed it. And that's the only way a thing actually comes into being is through the same, not ceremonial scene.
Glory to God.
How were you co-raised? Through the faith, faithfulness of the operation of God, raising him from the dead, from out of the dead. Speaking of an eternal act that happened. Now, when we went through all of this morning, give me about 5 or 6 minutes. I'm just bail out. We went through all of this morning. Because whatever you think about salvation is what you take right down into life. You think that, not you think, but many God's people that don't know think they're living 1 minute at a time and things are happening as you see it. You know what it goes back to? It goes back to how they have twisted this thing concerning salvation. The same saying that placed you in the Christ is the ontologism, a being of how everything else exists. God said it, but when did he say it? In eternity. Your today, your tomorrow, your course in life is all set. It's there and always has been there. Your conscience are moving through it, but that frame is there. Your tomorrow, whatever frames are there for tomorrow, they were placed there in eternity. And the next day, and the next year, and the next decade. However long you walk through the matrix. So whatever situations that are there in life, God placed them there for purpose. But look, that he would have done a better job than that, because some of the stuff I'm going through, I don't see why. Get your eyes off of your purpose for living is not you.
Not.
It's him. Every boneheaded move I make, every mistake, amen, is placed there for purpose. And the trials of life, they don't come to kill you or to wipe you out. They're there for testimony. Because your entrance and security is based upon what he did before you got here. And if you were saved in eternity, you can't be lost in time. And notice, get a chance to do it, but Deacon, we don't have time, but these are all these passive voices, aren't they? Which means what? This is something that is done to me. I have no control over it.
I'm
going to read this one paragraph, and then we're going to close for the day. Oh, my God. I mean, we've been all over the place. You know, you had the 325 AD Council of Nicaea. Then you had the Reformation. Then you had the Council of Trent. That's when the Catholic Church came back and they decided they were going to fight against the Protestants. You know. And it turns out they're both wrong. As far as understanding where the placement of this is, to know what it is. Page 25. This is why things seem so crazy. See where it says much of? Third paragraph. Everybody got that? Page 25.
Yeah.
Listen to this. Just one paragraph. Much of what is assessed to intervals is dismissed as complete lunacy, which is forcibly ignored as the masses fail to overcome myriad images and sounds that occupy their minds, even when misconstrued as viable. Now, what are we saying there? You know what Paul said one place? He said, we look through a glass what?
Obscurely.
That means your view of life is not clear, crystal clear, when all you're doing is looking at life through your eyes and not looking to God to explain to you what it is.
Right.
I'm trying to figure out what it is. If the glass is foggy, are you going to be able to see clearly? No. That's why things in life seem so crazy, so mixed up and messed up. Because we're looking at processes.
Right.
And not understanding the reason why the thing is there.
Mm-hmm.
It's there for purpose.
Mm-hmm.
It's not there of itself.
Mm-hmm.
So is the Bible only as you can identify it in relationship to what the Word of God says it is.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, you're looking through a glass obscurely or darkly. Such have been bombarded by multifaceted media presentations before entering into their misconceptions, and the barrage continues once they're instigated. And it just goes on and on and on. Once you think that's what it is, man, you captured that. The Matrix has has repeatedly exhibited, listen, look at this, deficiently unsubstantiated occupations with his choices, which grids define what they connote to represent life in the mass hypnosis of the present. What is this telling you? Don't become captured in life based upon what you see,
mm-hmm,
or what you think is going on.
Mm-hmm.
How many of us stop to ask God for understanding instead of just looking at a thing? I'm broke. I'm sick. Does anybody stop the Lord, what is your agenda in this instance? And you can ask. Instead of saying, well, that's what it is. What you see is what it is. No, it's not.
Mm-hmm.
I lost my job.
Mm-hmm.
I lost my account.
Mm-hmm.
I lost my health.
Yes.
I lost my family.
Mm-hmm.
I think of the story of the gentleman that wrote "It Is Well With My Soul."
Yeah,
he lost his business.
Yeah. Oh, yes,
he did. Then he lost most of his family.
Yeah,
what came out of that?
Went
peace like a river.
Yep.
It is well with my soul. So you mean God took him through all of that for the purpose of having that testimony? Yes.
Yeah.
Your whole of life is for testimony. We move on sight, and then when something happens, we say, "Well, the devil did that." And like, you know, like the devil is saying, he's a bad fellow. I mean, he's a terrible fellow, but he doesn't control anything. He's not controlling the thing. Story of Job. What? He had to get permission to touch Job, didn't he? And then God put some limits on it, didn't he? And that was for what? Testimony. No, grab that thing and go on down the road with it. Now you're captured by it. And this is what we're saying here. You know, once that thing is, if you become instigated in this stuff, you know, we get in some straits and we forget all about God.
Yes.
Oh, yes, we do.
Yeah. Preacher. Amen.
Something comes up, I'm going to handle this myself. You're going to get hounded.
Glory to God.
What this initiates are the trivialities breaking their novice forms of indulgences, whose connections expand in deference of its sphere by benignly regarding what such is not inclined to perceive. It's not there of itself.
No.
It's for purpose.
Mm-hmm.
So don't ask, what is this? Mm-hmm. What's the question? What's the relevant question?
What is this for?
What's, Lord, the purpose of it? Otherwise, life would take you on a roller coaster ride and wear you out. And you'll be the most miserable something anyone can ever look upon. Here we are, sons of God, heirs of God, heirs of that which belongs to Christ, and we're miserable. Then we get to scriptures, we don't understand. Because it's saying in everything do what? Because this is what?
The will of God in Christ Jesus.
Now I'm confused. No way could God have anything to do with this. We're in here. The dismal pill of the dismal capsule decisions represent routines that gloominess realizes. On the other hand, the dazzling capsule involves defiance to their intimidating forces, generating illusions in such as eventually functioning within and of themselves. So we're going to be defiant. We're not going to take the things of life as we see them and say that's what it is. If I'm broke, that does not define me.
No.
If I'm sick, that does not define me.
Nope. Nope.
If I'm having trouble this morning, that doesn't define me.
No, it doesn't.
The situations of my life as they are visibly viewed, they don't define me. Even if everything seems to be going okay and that's visible, that doesn't define me. This is why we're up and down, because we're moving like the poles. Up and down, up on a roller coaster ride, depending upon what's before us. But let's move back to eternity. To where we really are. In Christ. And know that whatever's happening in this life is there for a purpose. God puts it there. It comes. It goes. Mm-hmm. Amen. And the people that lived 200 years ago, that whatever they were involved in now, this is why Paul said, possessions as though you never had them. Relations as though you never had them.
Right.
Life is not about you.
Yeah.
It's all about him.
Yeah.
Can you say it's all about him?
It's all about him.
Do you love him this morning?
Hallelujah.
Isn't he wonderful? Isn't he great? Isn't he marvelous? Isn't he super? Oh, give him a praise. Give him a praise. Give him a praise. Give him a praise.